Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of June, recording at 9:33 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now first, since my sincerest apologies about last night's audio. That was entirely my blunder. Gear must have been loose in the brain. But then, when I found out about it, I was well away from the office and had to be away until late this afternoon, so it was better just to have Owen record an audio. Now, first highlights in here today, following on from that same theme, stock markets are definitely easier here today, and we're seeing more evidence of loss of upside momentum. The Asian markets were mostly down, with the Nikkei seeing one of the bigger moves at 2.86%. European stock markets were mixed, but mostly to the lower side. Wall Street closed near the lows of the day with small declines, 1.25% on average for the indices, but that, as I say, was near the lows of the days. It had been higher earlier on. And it also reversed a sort of a late session rally in the last 10 minutes or so. Long-dated government bonds, against that mixed performance in Europe, they actually eased slightly, but the treasuries rallied as Wall Street came off, with the 30-year bond future up just over a point. And the U.S. dollar was down a little bit in here today, but again, it's a mixed performance. Interestingly, the yen was stronger in here today. The dollar fell back to 96.42 yen as I speak. And precious metals rallied a little bit. Silver is currently 418.5 on the July contract, and gold bullion is at 935. That's up 685 on the day. And industrial metals, copper's weaker here, down currently at 225. I think they're pretty well all down. A bit, except nickel. Nickel closed with a modest gain back above 15,100. And the soft commodities appear to be mixed. Crude oil holding around that $70 level, just above that $70 level. So what's going on here overall? Well, I think the evidence continues to mount that the reaction, or what I think is stock market reaction, or what I think is more likely to be a correction, is underway. And we had the leadership, as you know, from Taiwan. That was just a key market that we'd been focusing before we saw this selling pressure come in, but having led, representing both the Asian theme and the technology theme, and seeing one of the best performances overall on our long-standing contention based on hard market evidence that the leaders usually lead in both directions. We were watching that one very closely, and it gave a good lead signal. But other markets are starting to roll over and either record upside failures or beginning to break support. Now, the evidence isn't conclusive. It never is until sort of after the event. But we do see, I think most of the evidence points to deterioration overall. And if you look at the indices, particularly if you look at them on weekly charts for perspective, all of those OECD markets, which rallied so strongly from their March lows, really form these stock-like patterns that were impressive on the upside. That's what we were looking for as a bear market breaker. But remember, the hypothesis was always for a long pullback and base formation extension by these laggards, and I think that's what they face. So I think the environment is going to be tougher in stock markets over the medium term. Thus, my opening some shorts yesterday, and I added the Nikkei to my shorts in here today, my personal trading shorts. And I have said for the better part of 2 or 3 weeks that if anybody would be really, well, find it difficult to cope with a correction, which I know I'd previously said, I think I said once or twice, 20 or 30%, and then I got called on an email on that about the 30%, and I thought, well, some of the very high beta markets, maybe they could see a reaction of that magnitude, but I think with most of the others, what I'd be looking for, what I'm really looking for, is something that's bigger than a reaction, and a reaction is, in our jargon, and everybody's got jargon. It's you can't really communicate without some jargon, but a reaction. I regard that essentially as a short-term pullback of a few weeks at most. And whereas a correction, I think then we're talking upwards of 10%, 10% or more, in other words. And that can last for a number of weeks and possibly a few months. I think that's the risk. So my thoughts are that best case scenario is we see 10% corrections or so for the majority of stock markets, but that we're likely to see more. I don't know. Nobody knows for sure how this will turn out. But what I do see, and what we all see, is market rallies that were very, very impressive. They have followed that classic type 2 pattern of being unrelentingly consistent early on, then gradually losing momentum as a little bit more supply starts to come in and some of the demand is sated from that momentum move. Then they go into more or less a standstill or stall, really, when supply and demand is back in balance. And then people begin to think about it and they say, well, how did markets get way up here? Well, we had a number of factors, as you know. We had the biggest attempted asset reflation in human history, and it succeeded. We had a momentum move develop. All those institutional investors had very, very high cash levels, and some of them have been pulled back in. We had a lot of shorts back in March, and so that's enabled or provided some initial thrust during that month and beyond. So a lot of factors took place as investors sort of realized that the message that they were getting from the leadership of emerging markets, fortunately fuller money themes, was that no, this is not a depression here. It's a severe recession, but severer for some than others. Mainly severer for the countries that are in such big debt problems and that saw their banking systems collapse. So they're the ones that nevertheless still saw had, well, they're the ones that had the late bottoms in March, saw those big stocks, and now people are going to start to question, and I think that the optimism that we see is fairly ephemeral. And I think that again, people will start to worry more about the economic background, which isn't that hot, to put it mildly, and that will weigh on sentiment, cause markets to come back down and extend their patterns in further base development for all these OECD markets. For the leaders, I think we'll also see pullbacks because the Wall Street leash effect would be operating. But those pullbacks may wind up being little more than a reversion to the mean, that's still a fairly decent reaction for a number of them, a reversion to the mean in terms of the 200-day moving averages. So, again, that's why I did emphasize over the last 2 or 3 weeks that people who would find it difficult to deal with a correction, a stock market correction that perhaps lasted for a number of weeks and maybe even a few months, might want to lighten a little bit beforehand. I chose not to. I'm not going to stir my long-term positions. I like what I've got. It's been doing very well in the recovery. I expect some retracement, but I've hedged that. I'm hedging that out with short positions in futures markets. They're not direct hedges, by the way. They're asymmetrical hedges. In other words, I'm going for the highly liquid contracts and where I can get September contracts. I'm not having to roll them over every month. So my short positions are in the NASDAQ and the S&P and in the German DAX, and I added the Nikkei in here today. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, they were oversold, as you know, having been very, very weak, and the one script that is likely to cause them to firm up, other than a little bit of short covering, is a weakening environment for stock markets. And again, I want to go back to the stock markets. I regard this as base extension and reversion to the mean by the leaders as a natural development within what I think is still a young bull market. I don't think we're going to see a resumption of the bear market anytime soon, in other words. Now, those long-dated government bonds, the oversold rally is underway. There'll be some short covering in that. There may be a little bit of new buying. I don't think there'll be a whole lot, actually, because I think most people now accept that there's no way these are going to go back to pricing depression, and therefore it may be a muted rally. But some further short-term upside, I think, is probable. Now, what about the dollar in here? The dollar is also the dollar had taken a beating, and predictably has commenced a technical rally. That may go a little further, but I don't think there's a case for any sort of big, strong dollar rally in here. A few other countries have been bleating about the strength of their currencies. It's interesting, isn't it? All this, and we're getting Medvedev from Russia really, you know, talking about alternatives, and, well, we're going to discuss this alternatives of the dollar, in other words, and sort of special drawing right combinations, including some of their own currencies and maybe gold as well. Well, we're going to get a lot of talk of this sort. It's the same sort of thinking that the people who trade currencies have been engaged in for several years, saying, look, this dollar is really in trouble here. So that's now spread worldwide, that sort of thinking. But then others come out, like the Japanese, and say, oh, the dollar is going to remain the world's reserve currency for a long time. Well, it may well do so. I think it will, but by default, in the sense that there's no one other than a few overly patriotic European politicians who want to see the euro step up and become the reserve currency. Japan would be terrified at the prospect, and it is just not justifiable on any basis that the yen should assume that role. So, you know, what else? My long-term view, which veteran subscribers will know, is that maybe 50 years from now, possibly sooner, but probably not until 10 or 20 years after the renminbi becomes fully convertible, that China's currency will be the world's reserve currency. But that's a way out there in the future. And the bottom line is that absolutely no one wants to jump up and assume that reserve currency status, and there's no country that's or region that's in a position to do that. As I've said in the past, that sometimes the euro is the default reserve currency of choice, but I do feel that European politicians and also the ECB will try to squash any extensive speculation in that regard. So overall, it's sort of been a race to the bottom, slow motion, snail's pace race here in these currency markets. I expect a little bit of a dollar rally, and then I think it'll be a good short once again. But at the moment, I'm just watching and waiting. Now, what about these commodities? You know, this is, we're back to the all change theme here. Stock markets was a one-way street on the way up from March onwards, much earlier, really for the fuller money themes, everything from gold shares to the Asian emerging markets to the South American resources markets, all doing extremely well. Well, we can expect some lengthy pullbacks and consolidations there, and I think that's pretty much it here for another day. But the commodities. Sorry, I was just running through some of this all changed theme here. Stock markets experience a correction. Commodity markets experience a correction. In other words, people are going to take some money off the table. And I expect cash levels to move back up a little bit. Maybe a wee bit of buying of bonds, but I think it's more just some short covering there. Again, as people reduce exposure and take some profits on dollar shorts. That's the type of environment I see. So it's going to be a little less exciting than before, but there are always opportunities in here in the markets. I think they're mostly on the downside in the short term in those stock markets and commodity markets. And I'll make sure this audio gets posted, and meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.